A love lived in me when nothing else could help. A love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen, amen. Thank you, brothers, for leading us this morning in our worship. And we now come to hear another a portion of God's word. We're continuing in a series called Living an Emotionally Healthy Life. And we've been talking in the last few weeks. We started with the importance of emotional health for spiritual growth. Second, on last week, we talked about the roadblocks to emotional health. Today, we're going to be talking to the path of emotional health. And next week, we'll conclude, Lord willing, with the fruit of emotional health. On last week, we dealt with the roadblocks. And we looked at John 5, 1 through 8. This man who had been sitting, waiting for 38 years in this infirmity, waiting for the waters to move and for the angel to strike the water. And Jesus comes to him and asks him if you want to be well. We talked about the fact that sometimes he gave excuses. There are different roadblocks to our well-being and to our wholeness, obstacles that are external and internal. And we discussed the myths, roadblock. One roadblock being mental illness is a result of sin or lack of faith. We said that was false. So if you want to hear more of that, about that, look at last week's message. And then we also talked about the roadblock of the belief that seeking professional help for mental illness is a sign of weakness or a lack of faith. You know, this last week, well, since I've been doing this series, I've really had some great conversations with some people. And I believe that God is really working through this series. We've been able to have some really good and deep and needed conversations with some people personally. And also, I've been kind of kept the same theme with the youth as we did our youth night. And the discussion was so good that we're going to continue it on Thursday night also, because there was just, like last week, there was so much information, just couldn't get to it all. And one of the sisters said, just keep preaching. Don't worry about if it's long. Don't even say nothing. Just keep going. I said, you know what? Amen. I like hearing those type of anyway. But we looked at these five on last week, 10 reasons of the five of the 10 reasons why some Christians don't seek mental health help. First, the stigma, fear, shame, lack of knowledge, and then different misconceptions about mental illness or emotional, you know, or being just emotionally sick. And so we discussed those five on last week, and I said that we would discuss the last five, so I kind of used that in my introduction on this morning, these five reasons that we didn't address last week. First, that belief in prayer alone. There were some that, you know, they're just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God, so waiting on God means not moving. Stand still and know that I'm the Lord. So sometimes we use some scriptures in the wrong way, don't we? Stand still. And no, sometimes you got to move. And I don't know if you've heard this story before. I'm sure you have. Many of you have. But the story about the young man who, you know, there was a great flood that was overtaking their city. And he's on the top of this building as the waters keep rising. And as he's on the top of that building as the waters keep rising, a helicopter comes. And, you know, it's getting ready to put down and save. And goes, no, I'm good. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord, you know. Then the waters got so high up to where he was that boats were able to actually get around that same area. And the boat comes and finally, he goes, no, you guys keep going. Put someone else. I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, finally, he drowns, and he dies, and he's before the Lord in heaven. And he asked the Lord, Lord, where were you? Where were you? I mean, I was waiting on you. I mean, I got your promises that you would save me and that you would help me. And yet I waited and I waited and I waited. Where were you, Lord? The Lord said, I don't know what you're talking about. I sent you a plane and a boat. You didn't get in. You know, sometimes we're expecting Naaman the leper. Just like him, we're expecting God to do something miraculous and spectacular and all of that, when God works sometimes in simple ways. And I think a lot of the things that we're going to be talking about is just some simple, practical things that'll help us in a different perspective. But we need to look at our mental health and everything in some of these simple ways. But prayer alone isn't enough, all right? It's a powerful tool, and it's one that definitely should be used. But when it comes to mental health, prayer alone isn't enough. Financial concerns, you know, it's expensive sometimes. You don't have insurance and things of that nature. So sometimes it can be a little challenging to find some help when you know I don't have no money. But there are so many programs out there, free programs that are out there also for that. So if that's an obstacle in your mind, there are solutions. There are ways to be able to get some help without having insurance and things of that nature. Lack of access to services, cultural and linguistic barriers obviously would be very problematic and be a barrier that would make access to mental health challenging. And then lastly, lack of support. And this is kind of deal with this a little bit more. Once again, as Christians, and I dealt with this a lot on last week, we need to be sensitive. We need to be sensitive to people, where they are, their needs, things of that nature. And we want to be helpers. We want to help people that are troubled and spiritually, that are going through some things. And here we are as ambassadors of Christ, those, you know, as the brother was dealing a lot of songs on love and peace and joy. And these are the things that we need to receive, and then also that we need to bless and give to others. And so today I want us to start by looking at this path to emotional health. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. And as I did last week, I just want to put my disclaimer once again. Whenever we're talking about emotional health, these aren't sermons geared to say, look, just get over it. You know, just get over it and get past whatever it is. There are some people that may be in the situation right now because of circumstance, different circumstances, trauma, things of that nature. And then there are some people that may be falling into this being emotionally unhealthy in a sense because of biological things, some things that are just not regulating right. And so you may need to be able to talk to a doctor to be able to help in those areas. I'm not qualified. The church is not qualified for those type of things. And so, you know, but it's important to also seek out the professional help that God has made available to man. Amen. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. And on that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from their land. And if anyone still prophesies, their father and their mother to whom they were born will say to them, you must die because you've told lies in the Lord's name. And then their own parents will punish the one who prophesies falsely, if I could just add that. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. They will not put on the prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. Each will say, I am not a prophet, I'm a farmer. The land has been my livelihood since my youth. And if anyone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds that I was given at the house of my friends. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just ask that you would help us as we go through this lesson this morning, Lord. As we gain insights from this passage and from others that we'll look at, that you might help us, Lord, as we strive to become whole, that we would look to your word, that we would look to you, that we would look in the mirror and look at ourselves. And Father, that if we find those imperfections, that we would take them to you in prayer, that we would take them to others for help, that we would seek help for whatever ails us. Bless us, Lord, guide us, protect us, and keep us is our request and prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. On that day, there's going to be this fountain that's opened for the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to cleanse them from sin and impurity. You know, the Jews had come back and they were starting to rebuild. We talked about that a few weeks ago as we were looking at Nehemiah. And Zechariah comes in as a contemporary of Haggai, these prophets that are challenging the people. And in Zechariah's day, one of the big challenges was the temple once again. And cleansing, not just building the temple and getting that prepared, but also cleansing the land, the people of that time, who had now, being away in Babylon, they have adopted the traditions and the religion and idolatry and all of that. And now, as they're gathered together with God's people once again and trying to reestablish things, they're taking the idolatry and false worship, and they're kind of trying to mix it in once again. Matter of fact, wasn't that the problem that caused God to punish them and even send them into captivity? And now, yet we find ourselves as humans kind of constantly struggling with very similar things, and we'll break free for a moment and then find ourselves back trapped in the same things again. And so they found themselves in this, but yet Lord continues to have to try to purify and clean out some things. And so there were many false prophets that were not teaching according to the word, that were still mixing in the idolatry and all of that. And God has to make things right. He has to get the attention of his people at some point, especially when we continue to stray so far away, as a good father does. He's sometimes got to get your attention and not just by saying your name, if you know what I mean. In this case, it gotten so bad that he's cleansing out these false prophets. And when we talk about cleansing out, I'm talking about executing. I mean, killing them off. Very tough stuff here. You're saying, well, brother, what does this got to do with emotional health? He's killing them off. Now, I want you to look in the life of one prophet for a moment. One, I'm hoping, former false prophet. And in verse 3, it says, if anyone still prophesies, the father and mother have an obligation. Tough. Whew. On 4. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of their prophetic vision. They will not put on a prophet's garment of hair in order to deceive. So something stopped. Something stopped. I'm not gonna show myself as a prophet anymore. So I'm going into high, or as a false prophet anymore. Just make sure we understand these are false prophets. Each one instead is lying. They're saying, I'm not a prophet. I've been a farmer all my life. I've been a farmer all my life. I haven't been one of those false prophets. Then verse 6. If someone asks, well, what are these wounds then? What are these wounds? They said, well, these wounds that I got all over me, these are the wounds I got at my friend's. I fell down, or maybe I got cut doing something, but these wounds, he's lying. He's lying, y'all, if you don't get that. He's lying. These were wounds that were inflicted upon self in false worship to idols. And yet now these are healed and they're scars. And someone says, well, what are they? And because of shame, you go, hold up a second. They're nothing. It's nothing. It was just something that happened when I was at my friend's house. So we're lying about your situation. How does this deal with, how can we use this for what we're talking about? Well, that the fountain, it represents this source of purification of sin and impurity. And as we're talking about mental health, there comes a moment where we need help with this weight, this emotional battle that's going on within ourselves. And while the fountain that's represented here came to bring relief and purification to the people, as we're dealing with mental health, we got to recognize that first of all, I'm not strong enough. I'm not able. There are moments that where I'm weak, that I need help. I need help. And the source of that help, where is that help going to come from? Well, we know it's going to come from the Lord, but then we also know that it comes from the Lord's agents. The Lord's agents. Some of the people right to the left and right in front and back of you. Some of God's agents. Ministers and counselors and even professional people in the secular world that can help us to understand a little bit about the psyche of ours. The banishment of the idols from the land and the passage can be seen as a time to let go of the negative influences and patterns of behavior that are harming each and every one of us. You know, substance abuse, unhealthy relationships, self-destructive habits. You know, as God looked over the land, he recognized there's something wrong. And when we recognize there's something wrong, we've got to find a solution. We've got to go seek a solution. When you're going through emotional trouble, what we often do is try to hide and hold it ourselves. We don't want to share it with anybody. We don't want to share that because, you know, a lot of times, especially as Christians, we want to look strong. You know, the Lord strengthens me. The Lord gives, you know, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and all that. And so we got the cliches and all of that, but yet on the inside, we can just still be dying on the inside, afraid to even share to others and tell others that we're going through some things. Then there's the punishment of prophets who told lies, which helps us to recognize the importance of being truthful. First and foremost, being truthful to God. Secondly, being truthful to yourself. I don't know if you do this. I have my own little times of talks, just talking to myself. And you know, usually it's an inner dialogue. But occasionally you will see it on the outside also. somebody was in the store the other day, right in Home Depot, and I'm sitting there just talking to myself and trying to process something. And the guy goes, "You okay?" I say, "Yeah." Sometimes I talk to myself and I even answer myself. All right, so no problem. But yeah, sometimes it's good to kind of process and think through things and look at life and process where I am and take a look at me. How am I really feeling, you know, and why am I feeling this? And just asking probing questions for yourself. And then being really, really, really honest. Here's a good one. You've been struggling for so long and never sought help. Then You got to get to the moment and go, well, if I'm going to overcome what I've been doing in the past has not been working. It's time to try something different and do something different, because what I've done in the past obviously is not going to help me in the future. So I've got to come to real realization that I need to walk a new path and do new things in order to be able to help me, in order for me to get to my healing. And then we look at this prophet. Here's a big one here. The shame that the prophets feel in this passage can be related to the stigma that often surrounds mental health issues. Let's go back to the prophet for a moment. Now, once again, I'm assuming he was a false prophet that now was ashamed of his ways and has turned. I'm just assuming that. I'm just reading that in for myself, right? Because it doesn't tell us one way or the other. But I want you to think about that for a moment, the weight of that. This was something that was so big. Prophets, these false prophets prophesying against God, it was so big that it caused the death of so many of them. Their actions resulted in their death. And so this man, obviously, he wants to hide the fact that I was part of that group. I mean, it's kind of like, look, I was part of a gang. You know, this vicious gang that did all this kind of stuff. And now, all of a sudden, here you are in the future, and you got to look back on that past. And if you had a bad past, it's very likely that we go, well, I don't really want to share that with nobody. Now, how can we view that for mental health? Sometimes we're going through all this kind of stuff, yeah, and I've done stuff, and I don't want to share it with nobody. Someone came to him and said, well, what are those scars? And that's just something that happened when I was at my friend's house. It ain't nothing. And we were talking about being honest, and these are the moments that we really have to be honest. Well, how are you feeling? Because you know what we do. Oh, I'm good, blessed, highly favored. I think I said that this morning to somebody, blessed and highly favored. Yeah, so we can do the talk and all that kind of stuff, but here we got to get brutally honest. And as we look into the mirror, as we look up to God, as we look in His Word, and then as we look in that mirror, we have to be totally honest and say, you know, truly, am I where I need to be emotionally? I mean, there's a whole bunch of other questions we can ask too, but right now we're dealing specifically with this. Am I where I need to be emotionally? And if I'm not, well, what am I going to do different? And how can I seek help and assistance in these areas that are challenging me right now? Once again, if I could have fixed it, I would have. So the fact that I'm still in this loop means, man, I need a new path. I need a new direction. I need new help. I need help. I need help. Why is that so hard for us to say, I need help? I need help. Now, I was appraising this congregation in the leaders of this congregation in the Bible class on this morning, in a Spanish Bible class, and I was just kind of sharing with them a little bit about our past history. I even sent a note to the elders just a few weeks ago, because I appreciate the help. I appreciate that I'm not in this alone. I appreciate that others are also there working beside, and that it doesn't just fall on one person, the weight of a whole congregation on one person. I appreciate that. It's important to be able to share. It's important to be able to do those things. Anyway, let me get back to where I was. The shame is real. He's going, this was my past. This is where I was, and now you've seen them. You've seen my scars. You've seen the pain. You've seen the things I've gone through and all of that. And so I'll hide it. I'll hide it. I won't share it with nobody. The wounds mentioned are those emotional scars that we carry as a result of the past trauma and negative experiences. And seeking help to heal from the wounds is an important step toward achieving better mental health. We need to start seeking some help for those wounds, for those scars that are there. And even utilizing those scars. We'll talk about that at the end. Utilizing those scars. Using it for the glory of God. The path to emotional health. First, being honest. We already talked about that. The first step of the path emotional health is being completely honest about our struggles, about where we are emotionally. Jesus says, you will know the truth, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free. There's a freedom that comes once you're able to even just put it out there. I need help. I need someone to help me. I need help. The writer, I think, in 1 Thessalonians tells us to pray what? Pray without ceasing. Pray, let prayer be a part of our normal routine. But then also we're told that there's a peace of God that passes all understanding, that when we take it to the Lord in prayer, there's a peace that he gives us over it because we've given it to God. We've given it to God. We've laid it at his feet, and now we're free because, you know, we're giving it to him from the weight of all of that. And so we've got to be, once again, truthfully honest with ourselves that I need help. And first, that help, take that to the Lord first in prayer. And secondly, as I've already been sharing and will continue to be saying, get help from people. People. Not all people. The right people. All right, let me get help from the right people. Be hopeful. You know, I think this is one of the challenging things. I was sharing this story with someone on last week, how I had heard this story about another man, a man who was working at this job for quite some time. And he was an introvert. He didn't really talk to a whole lot of people. And, you know, but he just did his work. And but at the same time, he felt that his life was meaningless. There was no purpose in it. And he decided, look, today I'm going to end my life. That same day, as he's at work, the boss, the owner of the company comes by and he just gives him a few words. He comes to him. He's greeting all employees. He wasn't nothing special that he was doing for this employee, but it was received as special. Because the owner of the company said, you are doing a great job, you are a value and an asset to this company, you know, and we really are so thankful for you being here. And he said that those few words were enough to give him some hope, enough to show him that there was purpose in his living. There's a reason why I'm here. I mean, I'm not just occupying space and taking up space and all that. No, my life counts for something. And so when he hears these words, finally at that moment he decides, look, I'm going to continue to live. And it was those very words that stopped him from taking his own life. And we just don't know the power of hope. That because sometimes what happens is we drown in what's going on in our moment and we can't see past what's going on. Us like Peter walking on that water and taking his eyes off Jesus and being looking at this great storm that was there. Then he begins to sink. Why? Takes his eyes off Jesus, focuses on the storm. And all of us can do the same thing. We can focus on everything that's bad and put our focus on all of that. Forget what's good. Because now we're marinating in mess. We're marinating in all this stuff that we shouldn't be. Instead of meditating on God's word, meditating on what's true and what's right and what's pure, and instead of doing all of that, instead we'll hold on to something that has no foundation. He says, we need to be hopeful. We need to be hopeful. Look at the scripture. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that's all we have is hope. But you know, we say that, but that's a powerful thing. Hope gets you to the next moment and says, you know what, I'm just going to hold on a little bit longer. I'm going to hold on a little bit longer. I know at some point the storm is going to pass. I know at some point this is going to be over. And so because you can see that there was going to be an end, or at least you believe in your mind's eye that there will be an end to this, it just gives you a little more strength to continue going on. The sad thing is when people lose all hope, when you lose all hope, when it's like, well, why do I exist and why am I going through this and I can't see a way out and all that. And usually, I'm just going to tell you this, usually it's their lies that we're telling ourselves. I'm going to just say that right now, usually. Usually we're taking a problem, yeah, it's a problem, and we're magnifying it 10 times. And then as we magnify it 10 times, we look so small according to this big problem that we've magnified in our own minds. And now all of a sudden. But when there's hope that goes, you know, man, I can eventually get past this with the help of others, usually. I can get help. That hope becomes powerful. Second, be courageous. It's hard sometimes to be courageous. Remember how many times the Lord was talking to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. And what is he telling them? Be courageous. He said that numerous times. Be courageous. Be courageous. Be courageous. Take courage because I am with you. He's continually having to feed this into his psyche. Why? Because oftentimes I think fear is more prominent. It is more dominant in our lives. It comes to the surface oftentimes before. And so we've got to be reminded to take courage. It's scary to say, I need help. It's scary. It's scary when people say, well man, I'm going to just be real. I've seen some people, some families, some marriages that I just thought, man, they were, if you look in the Bible about marriage, you might see this couple in there because it looked on the outside like everything was good. And then, gone. Divorce. It didn't happen overnight. That stuff doesn't happen overnight. It's a buildup. And oftentimes what happens is you continue living in a destructive way and hurting one another or talking, you know, wrong one another, dealing with each other in an ungodly way. At some point you just get to the end and just forget it, right? But how do you get to that point? You get to that point usually because you never asked for help all along this way. When everything was rocky over here, you said absolutely nothing. When people said, how are things going? It's fine. I'm good. How are your relationship? We're good. We got marriage enrichment classes here. You don't come to them. You have people that counsel senior members that, I think we have people 50, 60 years married. You don't talk to them. We don't seek help. Because the image that we have is everything is put together. Everything is good. Everything is right. And it's fearful to say anything different. It takes courage to say, I need help. And I want to empower you this morning. I want to empower you and encourage you to get to that moment. Whatever's going on emotionally, whether it's in your marriage, with your children, within yourself, bad thing, whatever it might be, that you can say, look, I need help. And I'm not promising I can solve it. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't. But we can start working toward a solution. We'll go with the Lord in prayer. We'll be thinking about how to help and all of that. Once it's out on the table, now we can work with it. But you know how it is? We, and I'm going to tell myself, sometimes in, because I have an account, the financial account, that's mine. I can do whatever I want with it. My wife has her own. She does whatever she wants with it. And then we have ours, which is, you know, all the bills and all the stuff, all the fun stuff, right? And oftentimes, I think I lost my point. I started thinking about my bills and all this kind of stuff. Like, oh, yeah, I'm sure waste money on a lot of food and stuff. And I'm trying to see it come back to me. It's not coming back. Well, I just take the amen. I'm gonna keep it moving. If it comes back, it comes back. See, some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. If it comes back, it comes back. But the thing is to be. Be courageous. Be courageous. I was going to make it fit, but I ain't going to do that. I ain't going. Lastly, be resilient. This path, be resilient, means that, you know, you're stronger. And I said this last week, you're stronger than you think. We've already overcome so much. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning, you've gone through COVID and lockdown and all sorts of stuff, and here we are still standing strong. Praise the Lord. Been through a lot. You're going to go through some things in life. Life throws challenges at each and every one of us, but yet there's a perspective that we have to have even when and things are thrown at us. And I got to end this with my favorite chapter in the Bible, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 4, again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, meditate on these things. And the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And then verse 13, of course, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God desires, the Lord desires for us to see even our challenges in the proper way. That when we see our challenges, once again, that we don't melt down and then start marinating in that meltdown because of what's happening in our lives. Instead, that we would take it to the Lord, and that we would look at it from a different perspective, because the perspective is so important. The same situation of failure came upon Judas as came upon Peter. The same. I mean, they didn't do exactly the same thing, but you understand what I mean. They both were against Christ, right? Peter denied him, cursed that he wasn't even one of his because of fear, right? Judas betrayed him, sold him out for silver. But yet both had an opportunity to make things right. Judas couldn't come to terms with what he had done and took his life. Peter was challenged. Jesus, remember when they were on the boat, after Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and now Jesus, after his resurrection, he comes back and shows himself. And when Peter finally figures out, whoa, this is Jesus, what does Jesus give him? He denied him three times, and now Peter denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus gives him three times this phrase, feed my sheep. Do you love me? He keeps asking, do you love me? Do you love me? You love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my... What he was doing in that moment, you remember that the last time, Peter actually got a little indignant. Lord, you know I love you. You know it. You're the Lord that knows everything. You know I love you. Why are you asking me? He's going, you know why I love you. Why? He needed Peter to see something. And what Jesus knew the answer. He wasn't asking it for Jesus' sake to know. He already knew. Peter. And Peter, and what I'm really stressing that, there was a pain and a shame that he had. There were wounds that he had. And yet here Jesus goes, look, I still got work for you. When he's saying feed my lambs, I've got work for you. It's not over. It's not over. And I guess what I'm saying is even with your scars, even with your scars, there's work. See, here's the beautiful thing. Come with me to John chapter 20. We're going to close out here. John chapter 20. Come with me down to let's go to 24. When Thomas called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus, who was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to him, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails and the put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. He said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." But believing. The scars of Jesus, there were some that believed that what we read in Zechariah was actually also a prophecy of the scars of Jesus. I don't know where I fit with that, but I do believe there's merit, because if you look at the verse right after 6 and 7 on down, it starts talking about the sheep. The shepherd would be struck, and then sheep would scatter. So that's definitely a reference to Jesus. So we see a little bit about Jesus here. And the beautiful thing I want you to see is that his scars were the very things that helped Thomas to believe. Those scars that you've had in the past, the ones that you have hidden, that you don't want anybody to see, that you've gone through, take those scars and use them. Because there's somebody else who's hurting. There's somebody else in that same position. There's somebody else that needs to hear your testimony. There's somebody else that needs your encouragement. And there's someone else that needs your perspective, because there's a perspective that someone can give who's already walked down that path, that no matter how good of a preacher I am, how much of I can study and on a topic, there's a way I cannot talk about a certain thing if I have never lived it. There's a death I can't go to if I've never lived it. But if you've lived it, you can talk and share and encourage and tell others and be able to motivate and give clearer direction than someone who'd never been through it. And so what I say is take those scars and use them. Take those scars and use it as your testimony of overcoming, to give hope for someone else that needs hope. All right, I'm going to stop there. God wants you whole. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from their troubles. Jesus said, Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your whole, for your soul. God wants you and I whole. And I hope that something was said on today, something was said in the sermon series that has convinced you of that. And that you can really make a good assessment of self and look in that mirror and say, you know what, if you find yourself in that bad place, there is help available. God wants me whole. The church wants me whole. And I need to get to the point where I want to be whole. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, help us. Guide us. Watch over us and keep us, Lord. Father, there are so many people that struggle emotionally. There are some that we would be so surprised to even find out that they struggled. Help us, Lord, to be observant. Help us to not hide our scars. Help us to not lie about how we feel and where we are, to be honest and truthful with self, with you, Lord, and with others. And help us to be courageous. Courageous enough to say something, and then even more courageous to act, to seek help, to seek solutions. Bless us, Lord. Guide us. Continue to bless and keep us here at the Green Bank congregation. Help us to continue to minister to this community and to do the work you've assigned our hands to do, Lord. Bless, God, protect, and keep each of us, Lord, in your loving care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe there's someone here today.